Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Monday, October 3rd. Today, we're speaking with Linda Shapley, the publisher of Colorado Community Media, about their 26 hyper-local newspapers and their relationship to the Colorado Sun. Before we begin, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Ski Area Bosses with outdoors reporter Jason Blevins virtually this Thursday, October 6th. Hear from industry experts about lessons learned over the last few seasons, challenges about climate, housing, and much more. Visit coloradosun.com/events to register for free. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. President Jimmy Carter signed legislation on this day in 1980 to declare three reservoirs on the Gunnison River the Wayne N. Aspinall Storage Unit of the Colorado River Storage Project, by naming the manipulated stretch of waterway in honor of the former congressman. The federal government recognized Aspinall's far-reaching impact. Born in Ohio in 1896, Aspinall and his family moved to Colorado 8 years later. After a stint in the U.S. Army during World War I, he returned with his wife Julia. Aspinall earned a law degree from DU in 1925 and established a practice on the Western Slope. With the support of Grand Junction newspaper editor and Democratic kingmaker Walter Walker, the conservative Aspinall won election to the General Assembly in 1930. Aspinall earned prominence as an advocate of water reclamation projects and served in leadership positions in both chambers. He won the Western Slope seat in the U.S. House of Representatives in 1948 and called for replumbing the West's rivers for irrigated farms, hydroelectric power, flood control, and tourism. Opponents quipped, quote, "He never met a dam he didn't like." Although Aspinall supported some conservation measures, battles with environmentalists and the liberal turn of the Democratic Party led to his political downfall. Upon Aspinall's death in 1983, a decade after he left Congress, a liberal Democrat and critic, Governor Richard Lamb, conceded, quote, "You can't take a drink of water in Colorado without thinking of Wayne Aspinall." Before we continue, the Colorado Sun and the Center for American Politics invite you to a live debate at the University of Denver. Come hear from candidates vying for the state treasurer seat and the secretary of state seat. Visit coloradosun.com/events for in-person and virtual options. Space is limited, registration is required. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Today, we have the exceptional treat of speaking with the publisher of Colorado Community Media, Linda Shapley. Hi, Linda. Thanks for coming by today.
Hi, Carol. Happy to be talking with you.
Let's just start in with what is Colorado Community Media and your relationship with the Colorado Sun?
Colorado Community Media is a network of 26 local news publications. There are 24 weeklies and 2 monthlies in the 8-county area throughout the Front Range. We cover a big area, and it's something that I'm very excited to do. Just essentially, when you're talking about local news, that's exactly where we are.
Yes, and hyper-local news is really drilling down on local community journalism with those 24 weeklies and 2 monthlies in the metro area.
Right, right. So the Sun, Colorado Sun, partnered last year with the National Trust for Local News to create the ownership group that owns us, the Colorado News Conservancy. So it's accurate to say that we are owned by the Sun, but in a lot of cases, it's more of a technically we're operating partners with the Colorado Sun. And so so essentially what that means is, you know, that the Sun is available to us as a resource and that we work together on a number of different things. The National Trust, I'll just tell you a little bit about that. They're a nonprofit that's dedicated to keeping local news in local hands. And so when the owners of Colorado Community Media were looking to sell last year, they were not interested in selling to a hedge fund. They were not interested in selling to some of the national chains that are out there, and because they were worried that it would lead to cuts in community news. And so essentially with corporate backers, the trust kind of did what was called a leveraged buyout, and they helped set up the loan that purchased the properties. And then that's the loan that we're paying off through our journalism, through our work as we're kind of going through.
I think it was one of the first models like this. And the Colorado News Conservancy, again, like you mentioned, that was is really the national trust for local news, and a little bit from the Colorado Sun. But mainly our relationship, like you said, is just partnering, working together. You know, we have great IT staff. You have great IT staff. We have sales staff and, you know, reporters. And we run, the Colorado Sun runs a lot of your stories because you have reporters deeply embedded in all of those markets that, that you referenced earlier, really from Fort Lupton to Littleton, Centennial, Castle Rock, North Glen, Norton. And so you have hyper-local reporters where even the Colorado Sun does not have the resources to do that. And I think our listeners are learning the future of news is collaboration. And if we are all going to be able to survive the hedge fund and corporate-owned media landscape that is absorbing legacy media, we have to collaborate. And this is one of the, you know, best examples of collaboration in the country.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of what we want to do and what I want to do with the organization is that, you know, if Colorado Community Media's publications were to go away, there would be news deserts all over the metro area. You know, nobody's covering Arvada like the Arvada Press, which is one of our public hookings. Those are the kinds of things where it's that connection to our communities that we need to continue to foster and we need to continue to build in the best way that we know how.
Yes. And to that point, about a year ago, so I believe that the purchase of Colorado Community Media was in May of 2021. And just a few short months after that, you came on board as the publisher of the entire group. And I think you just hit your 1 year anniversary. What has that first year been like for you?
So I did I'm kind of active on Twitter. And so I did kind of this tweet storm about what my first year has been like. But, you know, essentially it was thousands of miles traveled because, you know, I live in one of our communities, which is Thornton, but our offices are in a different community, which is Englewood. So if you're familiar with the Denver area, you know that that's like a 25, 30 mile drive every day through rush hour traffic. So, but, you know, that's only just a piece of it because I would go up to Evergreen and I would have conversations at the, you know, with the chamber there. Or we over the summer, you know, we had our reader survey come out. And so I was going to Elizabeth to, you know, meet with business leaders that had been voted by their readers as the best X business for the year. And so those are the kinds of things that are really important to me is that people know I'm the face of this business. And that, you know, so I traveled all around the metro area, drove down to Castle Rock. I sent tens of thousands of emails to make sure people knew who I was and some of the different things that we could do. You know, and I also attended dozens of events in that year's time, you know, where I got an opportunity to kind of meet with the, you know, with the Rotary people and with chamber people and with newsmakers in the community and just some of the different things that we could do on that side.
That's a lot, Linda.
Yeah, it's been amazing, though. You know, I joke that if I had known how much fun it was going to be, I mean, I've been in journalism for more than 30 years. And if I'd have known how much fun it was going to be, I would have, you know, become a publisher first. But, you know, that's always kind of the way where I loved meeting new people. And, you know, it's just been something that I get to go around and just talk about how important local news is in our communities. And that's fantastic.
And that's what you're doing these last several days and today at the Colorado Press Association.
Right, right. You know, and that's, you know, and the both of the conventions, there are actually two conventions going on here. There's the Colorado Press Association convention, which is, you know, a longstanding organization that helps, you know, promote local newspapers and has been around for more than 100 years. But there's also the Colorado Media Project, which is a much younger organization, but it's really interested in finding ways to advance equity. And that those are the things that are really important to me, you know, as we move forward, is that we need to become more reflective members of our communities in a way that as the industry kind of shrunk, it became something that became harder and harder to do. So it heartens me to be able to speak about what the potential could be.
Yes, and you and I both have a lot of passion about that landscape, and even earlier today, we're on a panel together about advancing equity in local news. To that point and beyond, what are your goals over the next, you know, say 1 to 5 years?
Yeah. So, you know, I have what I call my North Star, which is certainly just, you know, it's the way that right now everybody talks about their mission and the things they want to do. But, you know, when I came into Colorado Community Media, it was very print centric. And so, and as we all know, and as we're seeing in survey after survey, that's not how people are getting their news. That's how fewer and fewer people are getting their news. And so I want to make sure that we are able to transform our organization to one that, you know, reaches our readership. So that's kind of like what I'm seeing as part of my mission. And then also, of course, because in order to be that trailblazer for other communities and other papers that are trying to move forward, I need to figure out and like look for ways to diversify our revenue sources. And so that's a really important part of my mission. And then also to be a more responsive and reflective member of our communities and, you know, of the 24 communities that we're in. And so what that means is that in many ways, we just have to become more digital in a way that just makes sense.
And I think you also have already demonstrated that you are really working to nurture an incredible staff, that you had great people in place and you have added more people and have a great staff that are going to bring on other products and help you with that digital transformation.
Right. So a big goal that I had when I came in was that I wanted to create a farm team for Colorado journalism, that where I am in community news is often at the beginning of an emerging journalist career. And I want to elevate their work and help them learn the skills to move them in that next level. So like whether that's to a daily paper here, whether it's to a national publication or whatever they want to do. So we need to create a more diverse workforce. Simply put, you know, I think the only way to create that is to create a culture where people feel safe to be authentically themselves. So that's something that's really important to me.
That's really, really well said. And tell us a little bit about products that you are producing.
So from a digital standpoint, you know, we're branching out into newsletters, which is something that we hadn't been done before. So, you know, we currently have 7 that go for our publications that are like more of, hey, we have an e-edition that you can read your newspaper online. Here's some information that you'll find in there. But one of the things I'm really excited about is that we just launched a prep sports newsletter. Certainly at these community levels, that's where people are covering high school sports. That's where people are really paying attention to, like, you know, that star kid and their, you know, opportunity to move to the, you know, like into college or something like that. But we have a staffer who's been paying attention to prep sports for more than 30 years. And so that's Steve Smith. And so we've created a newsletter off of his Twitter handle, which is Sportsland. And so so we have the Prep Sportsland newsletter, which I'm so excited to for us to, you know, have offered.
I am too. I saw the launch of that this past week, and I can't wait to follow it and follow Steve's work, not just on Twitter, but also via the newsletter. And, you know, Linda, how can our listeners, who I'm sure live in many of these communities in the 8-county metro area, how can they find you, subscribe, support Colorado Community Media?
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many ways to support us, obviously with a subscription, if that's what you need, you know, from either a print standpoint, if you want something mailed to you, or in some cases, you know, delivered. A number of our papers are free. And so they are automatically delivered to you in some of our communities. But you can find all that information at coloradocommunitymedia.com. You'll see pop-ups in there to Sportsland and signing up for Sportsland. So hopefully, you know, that won't stop you, because it is a pop-up, but those will decrease as we kind of, you know, get more people to know that that's out there.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. And, you know, I'm a subscriber to one of your publications. I live on Cap Hill in downtown Denver. Every time it comes, I read it. I appreciate it. And I understand the value of local journalism for the editor who you have that curates that project. And I love life on Cap Hill. So I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, that's one of our monthly publications, and that's one that's actually free for folks who live in the Cap Hill area or in Washington Park, in the Wash Park area of Denver. We have a free publication for their Wash Park Profile, which was started, or at least formerly owned, by a current Denver City Councilman, Paul Cashman.
That's right. And I grew up with Washington Park Profile. And I actually recently found in a box in a storage unit a paper that I wrote on it for my first journalism class in college. You know, life on Cap Hill, you're correct. It is free. But, you know, like a lot of our listeners and readers, I believe in the value of local journalism. And so I pay to subscribe to it and to support it. And I hope that other folks find value, similar value, if they're able, in the communities in which they live.
Right. And, you know, where we're at right now is that we would prefer, I mean, you know, if you're going to subscribe to us online, we have a paywall up, which, you know, you can find coloradocommunitymedia.com/subscribe to find the newspaper, the news organization in your area, so you can get news directly to you. And then if you want to just give, if you're like, you know what, I want to support great local news, coloradocommunity.com/readerscare.
That's wonderful. Good info, Linda. And I know that you have to run to the next event at the Colorado Press Association. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And thanks to all of our colleagues who helped produce this podcast. Have a wonderful day. And I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Patty Limerick is an iconic professor and scholar whose Center of the American West at the University of Colorado has helped shape the state's cultural identity for nearly four decades. Late last month, she was fired from the center she founded. The new dean of CU's College of Arts and Sciences has not said why he removed Limerick. In a show of support, the center's entire executive committee resigned Friday. The vice chair of the center's board called the university's treatment of Limerick disrespectful, uninformed, and mean-spirited. In 3 months, there will be more people age 60 and older living in Colorado than residents younger than 18. That's according to the 2023 population estimate from the State Demographer's Office, shared last week by Governor Jared Polis during a conference about employing older workers. Colorado's median age is getting higher at 37.2 years old in 2020, and adults are working longer. The state has been preparing for an older population for a few years. Colorado has departments like the Office of Future Work and created a program that requires most employers to set up retirement plans. The small Navajo Nation town of Westwater in southeastern Utah is finally electrified after decades of starts and stops. Now, with electricity, the Navajo community can get running water. It took a large, complex network of indigenous, governmental, and religious and community resources to pull off the $752,000 electricity project and secure $10 million for a future water project. Westwater isn't unique in its utility needs. About 14,000 of 55,000 Navajo Nation homes were without electricity in 2010, according to the Navajo Tribal Utility Authority. About 18,000 homes had no running water. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.